We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're recording, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
No one is ever, ever going to give you the feeling that you need. The world's not going to give it to you. The universe is not going to give it to you. It's not going to fall into your lap. That like, okay, I'm finally ready to make a change in my life. Change is always hard and challenging because we're uprooting what feels comfortable.
This is Life Chats. Today we have a solo chat with me, your host, Georgia May.
Let's have a solo chat. So today I'm talking about something that I'm very passionate about, which is the power of your habits. Now, I'm sure people listening, there's like going to be a bit of an eye roll when I talk about habits because we hear about it all the time. We see it everywhere. It's like the power is in your daily habits and you change your life through your habits. I'm not going to be preaching that because that's knowledge that we all have, but I thought instead I'd share a little bit about my personal habits, what I do for my mind, body, and spirit, how they've changed over the years, and also where you can start if you're feeling a little bit stuck with your current routine or your lifestyle, you're not really sure what habits you need to integrate, and probably the ones that are going to really make the most difference for you and really allow you to, I guess, feel a sense of transformation or empowerment, small habits that are very sustainable but might make the greatest improvement. So I guess let's get into it. We all know that habits are the small daily things that we need to do to allow ourselves to feel the best, to show up as the best version of ourselves. Whether you like it or not, you have habits that are ingrained, either taught to you by the way that you were raised, your environment, the people that you spend your time with. There's that famous saying, you are the five people that you spend the most time with, which we all hopefully are aware of. I think the missing piece of information when it comes to habits is that you can't rely on your motivation to keep you going when it comes to changing habits, but also you have to have a certain level of consistency and dedication at the start, even when you don't want to, until you gain motivation and confidence. So no one is ever, ever going to give you the feeling that you need. The world's not going to give it to you. The universe is not going to give it to you. It's not going to fall into your lap. That like, okay, I'm finally ready to make a change in my life. Change is always hard and challenging because we're uprooting what feels comfortable. So particularly with habits, when it's ingrained, I think when you start to do a bit of work around this, you understand what habits are serving you and what ones aren't, in the sense that there might be habits that are not the best for your health, but they're serving you emotionally. So you might eat emotionally, you might binge eat, you might reach for the chocolate when you're feeling stressed. That's a habit. That's not something that is a positive habit that's serving you, but it's still serving you. So I think to begin, you need to like take stock of every single habit in your life. The ones that you do subconsciously, you know, like every time I feel threatened, I have a habit of doing this, or self-sabotaging, or a habit of XYZ, having a list of what your common habits are. Even down to granular detail, like I have a habit of picking up my phone when I wake up in the morning before I get out of bed. I have a habit of not prioritizing my nutrition when I'm stressed at work. Like these are the habits and behaviors, I suppose I should use that word as well, that allow you to take like a big picture look at your life. And I think without doing that, we don't really know where to start. So for me, I started reading up on like habit stacking and Atomic Habits by James Clear, which is an amazing place to start. The idea of tacking on one habit that you want to create onto a habit that you already have. So for example, if I wanted to become more flexible because I'm studying to be a yoga teacher, I need to prioritize my flexibility, stretch 15 minutes a day, but I wasn't making time to do that. So my habit stack was, whilst I was brushing my teeth, I would do a bit of stretching. I mean, it's only 2 minutes, but it was sustainable. It's something I could easily do. I was stacking on that habit, one onto the other. There's all this science around how long it takes for you to actually form a new habit, anywhere from 21 to 60 days. I think sustainability we're looking at longer than 60 days, but you don't want to tell that to someone who's already feeling overwhelmed and like they don't know where to start. 21 days feels a little bit more approachable, but the reality is if you really want to change your life and you really want to live a better quality life and be a better quality human, it's going to take longer than 60 days because these habits have been ingrained in you for years, potentially a lifetime. Potentially you've been eating a certain way since you were a teenager and now you're in your 40s. Those habits don't change overnight. So you've got to really want it. Like you've got to really want to change for the better and know that it's not going to be easy, but the finish line is going to be worth it. And a piece of advice that we hear over and over, but I'll never tire of hearing, is that you can't wait for motivation. Like it's just never going to come. You build motivation and you build confidence and you empower yourself when you take the steps and make the changes, regardless of how you feel. And then you prove to yourself that you can do it over time. So my daily habits have really been built and they've kind of evolved, as I've gone through my own like spiritual journey and learning to understand who I am as a person over the last probably 10 years. I was someone who had no understanding of health in a truly holistic sense. I would say up until the age of like 22, I partied a lot. I binge drank. I was a little bit overweight. My nutrition was shocking. I didn't do things that were good for my mind emotionally. I wasn't spending time with people that were nourishing to me. I was doing the opposite actually. And I was working jobs that I hated that instilled in me that my sense of self-worth was so low. And I really struggled. I struggled with feeling depressed, feeling anxious. A lot of people do when they're coming through those like, you know, coming of age years. But it all kind of changed for me when I've spoken about this in other podcasts, I had what I call a spiritual awakening. I don't really know how else to say it, even though that term sounds a bit cringe, where I got really, really sick when I was like 22, 23, when I was in Asia backpacking. And it basically reset my whole life. I came back. I couldn't stomach any food. I had to go to hospital. I had parasites. I was on like a liquid diet for weeks because I was physically incapable of digesting food. It was so painful. And this started like a 1 to 2 year journey of understanding how my body worked and the power of nutrition and the power of my mind, because I believe that a lot of that illness and that time was to do with how stressed and anxious I was prior to going overseas. I was in like a very negative and toxic and emotionally abusive situation with someone who I was seeing for a few years. And so it like just kickstarted this whole transformation where I had to like wipe the slate clean, really empower and educate myself on the power of daily habits, the power of my body, reinforcing that my body is resilient, that it can heal emotionally, spiritually, physically. And then what did that look like? Of course, I wasn't in the moment like, okay, I'm going to reset my life and I'm going to start from scratch and I'm going to redo everything. I just wasn't in that mindset. But I was like, what can I do? Because I felt very disempowered. I felt like I was sick. I couldn't really feel good no matter what I did. I was struggling with a lot of mental demons coming out of this situationship. And I didn't really know where to start, but my nutrition was like the one thing that was staring me in the face because I was rendered incapable of eating what I would usually eat. My body just would not process it anymore due to the inflammation and the bloating and the pain from the parasites. So I started with nutrition, and from there, I started to feel a little bit more empowered in how I could approach my day. I would start with maybe a little meditation because I knew that that would be really good for my stress levels. Not every day. I was journaling on and off because I had done that throughout my whole teenage years as a form of processing my thoughts. And so I had this little sprinkling of habits, like a handful of habits that I knew would make me feel better and could support me, but I wasn't consistent with them. And I kind of waited until this moment where I was really desperate, I suppose, to start employing them. And now what I know is like if you're consistent and you make time for these and you build your life around these habits, there never really comes a point where there's a rock bottom or a desperation or, oh my God, I have to fix my life moment and everything's crumbling and everything's a disaster. Of course, external circumstances happen. We're not in control of those, but you feel much more empowered in your life. You feel like you have control over how your day is going to go and your mindset. And you know that you're strong. You know that you're resilient. You know that you can choose things that are good for you. That is what this whole journey has taught me. So I guess I started with the nutrition. I went on a gluten-free diet for a little bit because that's what I needed to do medically. But from there, I started to become aware of the composition of foods. I guess I'd never really read labels. I didn't really understand how certain macronutrients, fiber, protein, carbohydrates worked. I didn't understand micronutrients, where I was getting my daily nutrient intake from. I just knew nothing. And so I went on this big experimental journey of trying different foods. I went vegetarian for a long time, vegan for a little bit, gluten-free, just trying different lifestyles and seeing what made me feel best. Crazy to say, but after 10 years of being vegetarian, I have just started eating meat again because I believe in listening to your body. And I had struggled with iron deficiency anemia for a long, long time. And I started having dreams of eating meat, and especially around my cycle, I would really feel crave like meat. Even though I hadn't eaten it in 10 years, I couldn't even remember the taste. I would have this intuitive want to eat meat. So I really struggled with that ethically because I went vegetarian for ethical reasons. I really struggled with like listening to that intuition and that knowledge, but now I know it's such a powerful tool to know how your body feels, what it needs, and to tune into that. And so I didn't have that sense of connection at the start of my habit building journey. It's so much more than just thinking about how to optimize your day and your life. It's not just like, how can I make my day more productive? I'll introduce these new habits. How can I go to the gym 5 times a week? I'm not talking about those sorts of habits. I'm talking about truly nourishing, life-changing behaviors that mean you're listening to yourself, you're connected to who you are as a person, and you're giving yourself what you need. Maybe not what you want because it's challenging, but what you truly need. So I've always taken a very holistic approach to my health from this moment on, from when I was 22. I started incorporating different mindfulness practices, meditation. I discovered ice baths and saunas. I think it's a bit of a domino effect. You start one thing and then you're introduced to communities who are very well-versed with this sort of lifestyle. I also moved to Bondi, which is like the wellness capital of potentially Australia. And there's a lot of community groups. There's run clubs, there's swim clubs, there's ice baths on the beach for free, there's saunas, there's meditation, breath work. Just the other night, I was honestly laughing with my boyfriend because this is just so woo-woo. I love woo-woo though. We went to a full moon ceremonial cacao breathwork ceremony for 2 hours on a Friday night. And we were just like, oh my God. If you have told us, like, he was a big partier in his 20s and he's in his 30s now and I'm in my late 20s. We're like, if you have told us 10 years ago when we were partiers that, you know, we would be in a healthy relationship and spending our Friday nights going to full moon cacao breathwork, we would be like, fuck off. But that is my life. That is my reality. And I freaking love it. It makes me feel good. I love being in rooms with like-minded people. And I love doing things that open my mind and my heart to new experiences and make me a better person every day. Like, I don't want to engage in any behavior that's not actually making me a better person. So I'm all about like trying new things, going to these new experiences and seeing how I feel. And if it works for me, then I incorporate it into my little toolkit of habits that I employ on a daily basis. A quick break from the episode to speak about our reviews. Now, Life Chats has recently hit over 30,000 listens, which is honestly incredible. So exciting. But we only have 18 reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is a bit sad. So it would mean the world if you could just take 1 minute out of your day to leave a written review for us, either on Apple or Spotify. There is truly so much time and care and effort that goes into these episodes. I research, edit, host, distribute, do everything all by myself. And I don't make any money from this show. I do it because the stories deserve to be heard and I truly love it. So if you could do that review, that would mean the world. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Life Chats Podcast if you don't already. The goal is to build a bigger community so I can continue producing these inspiring conversations. Thanks so much for being here. Back to the episode. I think if you're in a situation where you're looking at your life and you're thinking, majority of what I do doesn't support me daily, like I have these habits, but most of them don't make me feel good, then that's a really amazing place to start, is just taking a look at what percentage of your day are you actually engaging in things that make you feel good. Are you sitting down to eat meals and knowing that they're nourishing you and that they're giving you energy and fuel? And are you grateful? Are you moving your body in a way that you actually enjoy? And do you have a workout schedule that, or a movement schedule that suits your lifestyle and your goals, rather than just forcing yourself to exercise because you saw a 28-day shred program and you think it's going to give you abs? Like, we're better than that. We're better than that, people. I feel that if you can take a look of where you're at in your life and have a look at your habits, that is the like little puzzle piece that sometimes needs to shift. I just recently started a burnout to balance challenge, a 75-day challenge with all my daily habits. I'm going to speak more about this in a separate podcast, but the whole point of burnout to balance was consistency, to be consistent with my daily habits that I know make me feel incredible. And some of them are hard, like going to bed at 9:30 every single night, or having my meals without technology, which is such an ingrained habit. We scroll our phones, or we have the TV on whilst we're eating rather than being mindful. The point of that was to have 75 days where I did my habits consistently, because I employ them when I need, but I thought, what would this look like if I did this every single day for 75 days? I think there was 11 habits on the list. I stopped documenting it. My initial goal was to document it, but I'll talk about this another time. It was just becoming too intense to vlog every single part of my day all the time. The whole point of the challenge was to reset my nervous system, not to make me more stressed. So whilst I stopped documenting it, I continued to stick to the challenge because those habits are the ones that shift my life. Like, I feel so much more in tune creatively when I'm not on my phone in the morning and I'm not waking up and filling my brain with content and other people's lives that are just not even important. Random people I've seen on the internet, seeing what they're doing with their kids and their dog. Like, I don't need to see that shit the second my brain wakes up in the morning. I think if you really want to create space in your life for more creativity, more connection, more fulfillment, more gratitude, it starts with cutting out the shit, like cutting out the habits that are holding you back and unknowingly draining you, draining your life and draining your energy. There's an amazing quote from Oprah. She says, "Life first will send you the lesson in the size of a pebble. If you ignore the pebble, then life will send you a brick. If you ignore the brick, life will send you a brick wall. And if you ignore the brick wall, life will send you a demolition truck and the whole brick wall will fall down on your head," something like that. It's incredible. It's like, if you continue to ignore the things that you know intuitively are not good for you, they become bigger and bigger until something like, for me, I believe becoming extremely sick, my life being put on hold, my whole life taking a reset in my early 20s, spiritually, emotionally, physically, that was the brick wall falling down on my head because I had ignored all the signs over the prior years about how I was treating myself and what my days looked like and what I was choosing to spend time on. So if you're just starting out, I wanted to share some of the habits that I employ that might give you some ideas. I'm not saying that this is what you have to do to feel your best or be your best self, because everyone's so different. Only you know what is going to work for you. But I thought I would share some of my non-negotiable habits that I really build my day and my life around. Sometimes, depending on how stressful life is, if I've got a lot of podcasts, if I'm working, I've got a tight deadline, of course things shift. And I'm not someone who is an all or nothing, I'm a failure if I don't do every single one every day. But for the most part, 90% of these habits I employ every single day, because if I don't do them, it honestly starts to feel like when you don't brush your teeth. Like, you brush your teeth every day, it's non-negotiable. Well, I'd hope you brush your teeth every day. It's a non-negotiable. If you don't do it, it feels wrong. It feels off. You stink, you have bad breath, and your teeth are furry. So that is truly how I feel. If I miss a meditation, I'm like, my head starts to spin off because I'm just not used to that level of disconnection. I've cultivated over time a sense of real groundedness in these habits, and I rely on them. So I'll share with you. They did take me obviously many years to refine. So don't feel overwhelmed if you're taking stock of where you're at. I'd just start with one or two. I would pick one habit in the morning and one in the evening that you can build the rest of your day from. And that way, you just know no matter how your day is going to go, you will not miss your morning habit and your night habit. And then from there, you can habit stack other habits onto either side of them. Like, my dream morning routine now honestly has about 7 different habits stacked into one. And like, that's my morning routine. So it would look like this. I get up, I don't look at my phone for at least an hour. I preserve that brain space and I don't want to start my day on a stressful note and flood my brain with cortisol the second I wake up, because days are already stressful enough. I'm removing stress wherever I can. So I do not look at my phone. I get up, I drink some water because we're dehydrated through the night. Then I do my skincare and brush my teeth so I feel fresh. I get out the door as soon as possible. Some days are easier than others. And then I go for a walk in nature, looking into the sunlight, being in sunshine, soaking up some vitamin D, being around other fit, healthy, active, like-minded people who are up early in the morning and making the most of the day. That is such an energy giver to me. So that's a habit that I can't miss, as well as trying to hit roughly 10,000 steps a day. If I don't get a morning walk in, it's obviously a lot harder, but if I can spend 40 minutes walking in the morning, that's like majority of it done. So I rarely drink coffee, rarely. Like, I mean, once a week. When I did the Burnout to Balance Challenge, my habit was to not have any coffee because I'm such a sensitive person in terms of substances, I guess you'd say. Like, that can really affect my nervous system. Even one coffee, I noticed the effect. So I would prefer like a matcha or something that's more calm, slow releasing caffeine, green tea. I would then go and sit on this area where I live, which gets a lot of sun. So I sit in the sun and I meditate. Now, depending on my day, if I need to be in the office for work, I do like a 10-minute meditation. If I'm working from home and I can be at my desk a bit later, I meditate for up to an hour, which sounds like a lot. But when I've been doing this for years, I've just gradually built on the time so that the 10-minute meditations became 15, 20, half an hour, etc. So absolutely meditating grounds me. I use an app called Open, which is beautiful because you have guided meditations, you have house music if you feel like breathing, doing some like breath work to some funky music, or if you just want to sit in silence, you can do that. But it's really incredible. I do 1 to 5 of those guided meditations every day without fail. And then journaling, because I've been doing that since I was a teenager. I journal in a few different ways. I either use prompts to delve and explore certain issues in my life that I'm trying to get to the bottom of, or I'll just free write. I'll put like a song on that I like and I'll just write for 5 minutes and I never reread it. It's honestly just a processing tool to kind of get thoughts out of my head and onto a page. And then another way that I journal is that I do mantra work and affirmations. So it might be like mantras to manifest money in abundance, and I'll like write the same mantra, many different mantras over and over again, or I'll create my own mantras based on intuitively how I'm feeling. Like, I am calm, strong, and confident. Like, if I'm going into a podcast episode that day, I am calm, grounded, and open, and I will write mantras like that in my journal. So there are a few different ways that I journal. That's a non-negotiable. And then after I've done all that, I usually get a workout in as well. So to recap, wake up, no phone, get ready for the day, drink some water, out the door in the sunshine, going for a walk, no coffee, meditating, journaling, and mantras. Then I go and do my workout. That is like my perfect dream morning routine. I'd be lying if I said I did every single one of those every day, but I honestly am really proud to say I do most of them every single day, because that's just my habits now. Like, I've built it to a way that that is really achievable for me. I understand if you're listening and you have to be up at 5 o'clock for work or you've got kids, it's not the same, but there are definitely going to be pockets of your day where you can insert little habits that are going to make you feel better and can support you to feel a bit more grounded or connected to yourself. Even if you've only got 5 minutes, you can definitely do some breath work or some meditations or listen to a calm podcast that gives you some mantras in those 5 minutes. So no excuses. I think everyone can make time for themselves more. Otherwise, what are you doing? Like, if you're living a life that you can't even take 5 minutes out of the day to support yourself and give yourself the care and nurturing and kindness and love that you deserve, then some things definitely need to change. So that's my morning habit stack. And then my evening habit stack, I'm really still working on this. I'm not going to lie. I find the mornings easier because I have instilled those habits over a longer period of time. Evenings I find really challenging, that being because I love to work at night. I find that my brain is quite creative. And when the world sort of quietens down and goes to bed and you know, my partner goes to bed, there is so much less distraction. And I love to kind of zone in and work creatively during that time. So my evening habit stack ideally would be that I have no technology after like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. My blue light emitting devices like laptops, phones, whatnot, go off. Red lights go on. We have these beautiful lights in our house, these red light globes. So everything in the house is red. So your eyes kind of are adjusting and getting ready for the night. And then I would start to kind of, after I finish work, do a set of activities that would help me ground and connect to my body and wind down for bed. So it would be things like stretching or a 20-minute yoga flow, which you can just do on your mat in the lounge room. Usually I'll just pop some like beautiful music on and use that time to connect with my body and flow away from the day, because getting into bed with all that stress in your body and getting into your bed with thoughts in your mind about work is the worst thing you can do. You're going to fall asleep thinking about everything. So I need at least half an hour to an hour to disconnect from that. And then I spend time either journaling again, maybe I'll do a quick meditation. I love reading before bed, particularly fiction at the moment, because I feel like that's a beautiful escape from the day. Nonfiction to me feels like a bit of work, having to learn. So I'd prefer to pick up a fiction book. And then, of course, I get into bed. So it's something that I'm working on, but there are the habits that I want to kind of bookend my day with, because I feel like morning and night is so important. I feel like we can leave it there because I've done a bit of rambling in this one, but it's so important. I feel like this is the sort of work that changes your life. I hope that if you're listening to this, you feel a bit inspired, or at the very least, you've heard some ideas about what sort of habits you might want to integrate or experiment with in your life. I encourage you to try things that might make you feel a little uncomfortable. If you've never done breath work, amazing. Why don't you put on a YouTube video of Wim Hof and give it a go and see how you feel? So, so, so many tools out there to support our bodies, our minds, our spirits, to feel incredible. And with the internet, they're all free. So just find something that you want to try. Try it for a few weeks to see if you get any positive benefits, and then make it part of your life. That's the process and that's the journey. So thanks so much for listening to this solo chat. If you have any ideas about what you'd like me to speak on next, just let me know. I'm happy to talk about anything. I always have a lot to say. So if you've made it this far, I really appreciate it. I'm really grateful. And if you want to chat more about habits, just hit me up on Instagram, Georgia May Wellness, my personal account, or Life Chats Podcast, and we can have a chat. I'd love to speak more about this. And I'll also pop some incredible resources, books, and podcasts I listened to that inspired me on my journey. I'll pop them in the show notes. Thanks so much. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please let me know who you'd love me to chat to next, or if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, you can connect with me directly on Instagram at Life Chats Podcast, one word. Until next time, I'm Georgia May, and this is Life Chats.